Otherwise, I'll
okay.
forget.
Well, Deborah, yeah. If you put your arrow on your box,
yeah,
right. You should get a little blue square at the top right side with three dots.
Yeah.
Click on that.
Uh huh.
Click on there.
Yeah, got it.
Right, and one of those pull downs, it's got rename.
Oh, it has.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, like Deborah, oh, what do you mean?
That won't make Deborah Linda when she uses it, will it? I don't want to mess Deborah's up.
It's one or the other. Deborah? You cannot have
do we
both.
Not prefer Deborah?
Thank you, I didn't know you could do that.
Better do the PDF from...
Yeah, if you do the PDF, it's all laid out. Who's speaking when? And yeah, on exactly, which images? Yeah.
Schedule. There we go.
Excellent.
You see?
Les, while we're busy organising ourselves for tonight, what are the arrangements for the challenge on the 7th of August? Where?
You tell me.
You tell me, okay.
I don't know.
Right, okay, well, we'll have to make them up on the hoof then. Who would like to receive the photographs? Do you want me to do that? I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, if you want to.
Unless you want to do it. You've just done tonight, so.
Yeah.
Les?
Yeah?
Are we going row by row? So the first one is Paul, then Les, and then we go to the second row for Linda.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a few minutes to put them in that order? Because it's a bit...
You can. Yeah, well, let's just talk about the next few weeks of the Photographic Club while Gerben's reordering the photographs. Shall we, you know, like have the notices at the beginning rather than at the end?
Yep.
To give Gerben a little bit of time. So next week we'll have my mate Niels Powell, who's the competition judge at the beginning of lockdown. He's going to talk on his trip to Antarctica, and he's got a lot of wildlife photographs of penguins and things. So that's next week. The week after is this competition challenge that I was talking about with Les on the 7th of August, the title of which is There's Still Life. And so if you send your entries to me in the usual competition JPEG format, I'll organise them, and then we're going to vote on them in a knockout-style competition ourselves like we did previously. Okay? The other thing is we have to have an annual general meeting. We usually have them in May, but because of the lockdown and all the rest of it, we didn't have one, and we had a few comments at the time whether how long we should wait. And most of us on the committee now feel we've waited long enough and we're going to have an annual general meeting, and it therefore will have to be via Zoom. So we are planning to have a Zoom annual general meeting, and the date I'll confirm in a second. Peter, have you gone ahead and organised that talk for the 20 whatever it is of August?
I haven't yet, but I will do this weekend.
Okay, so we therefore if on the 20th of August for that talk, Peter. Yes. So it means that the annual general meeting for your dates for your diary will be on the 4th of September, and we'll have a Zoom annual general meeting like this, because as a club we have to have an annual general meeting to talk about the finances, the committee, the fees for next year and all the rest of it. And on top of that, this year we have to talk about our way forward in the new season, when we meet again in the community centre, how long we continue with Zoom and all those sort of issues. So they will be discussed at the annual general meeting on the 4th of September. Okay?
David, can I make a suggestion?
You can.
Can we start it at 7:30 instead of 8 o'clock? Because it might go on a bit.
Bring your Horlicks and your sleeping bag, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just going back to the last meeting in August, it's just a download, so there won't be any problems, you know, having to wait for something coming through the post.
Yeah, lovely. So, that's good.
Yeah.
So we have now got Zoom meetings every Friday organised till the end of August. And then the first Friday in September, our annual general meeting. I hope that is to everybody's satisfaction. In the meantime, we're going to have a committee meeting for those of you on the committee on the 6th of August, and we'll formalise our thoughts on everything and how we put things in an agenda for the AGM and that sort of thing for those committee members who are listening. Okay? Anybody want to say anything else? It's all gone quiet. Last week's Peter, you weren't involved last. I mean, you were organised it, but you weren't there last week because it seemed to go very well with our meeting with Gallery, and they are keen to have another one with us, which was provisionally organised 20-something of September.
29th, I think. It was.
Okay. Well, we haven't done anything more about that other than saying, in principle, we are very keen on having a joint meeting with them. We haven't decided on dates. That was a provisional date. And so I think we should wait until after our committee meeting is to decide whether we definitely go ahead with that, what the date is, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Is that all right by you, Peter?
Is that'll be a Tuesday.
It would be.
Yeah, it's our visit to them.
Yeah. It would be. There is also an email from Gallery. I'm sorry, I haven't got it. I should have it open, but I haven't. An email from Gallery where they're asking us if we want to join with them for an American photographer. Wait a minute, I'll tell you about it in a second. Have you received this, Peter, or not?
No.
Oh, okay, it must have been sent to Alan and me. I'll tell you in a second when I find it. I'm just opening my emails now. And it is, here we go. Yes, they're asking, they've arranged to have a Zoom meeting with an American photographer called Steve Gettle. Do you know Steve Gettle?
No.
Anyway, he has a website everybody might like to look at, stevegettle.com, stevegettle.com, all one word, no, you know, spaces or anything. Steve Gettle. They're asking if we would like to join with them on Tuesday, the 15th of September, for this talk by this American photographer. Now, they haven't mentioned if they are paying him, and therefore they haven't mentioned if they would like us to contribute to any payment. That hasn't been mentioned in the email, but that might be one of the reasons. But anyway, if people could look at his website, and we'll consider whether we should join them. I've replied to Gallery and said we'll discuss these matters at our next committee meeting and get back to them. That's how I've left it at the moment, Peter.
Right.
Well, they'll have to talk about sordid business and money, won't they?
Yes, we will.
I mean, normally, people, if they want to share, it means that they want us to share.
Yes.
Otherwise, they would be just inviting us, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that, indeed.
We invite other clubs, don't we?
That's right. They are certainly asking us to share.
Yeah, but, I think that means they want to share the cost.
Yeah, but money has not been mentioned directly.
No, but I mean, it's going to be.
I beg your pardon, Roy. Sorry, what? I've just read further down. He says, "This Steve, there is no fee." I've just read it lower down. So even better. So we could join them for a free meeting by this American photographer. Now it's getting more attractive all the time. Anyway, so that will be on Tuesday, the 15th of September. But we'll discuss it at the committee meeting on the 6th of August and then tell everybody if it's going to happen or not. So talking of committees, while Gerben's still working away, at the annual general meeting, we need to vote in...
Can I interrupt you there? I've just had his website, and it's Nature Photography.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Ed.
What was the name again, Ed?
Steve Gettle. STEGETTLE.com. So on the business of committees, we have to vote in a committee, officers, etc., at the annual general meeting. So as I said, we'll be doing this via Zoom on the 4th of September. And so we are looking for a number of people to volunteer or put themselves forward or be nominated for the committee. So I'll be very grateful if you could all do some soul searching and think about what you can contribute to the club and running of the club and all the rest of it. So we would love to have some new faces on the committee. So please think about that over the next week or two, because nominations will be needed in due course. The official notification for the annual general meeting will be sent out by Alan, and there has to be a minimum of 2 weeks notification. I'm giving you an informal verbal notification now, but there'll be official written notification via email at least 2 weeks before the 4th of September. Any questions or anything? That's very quiet. So Steve Gettle, have you, Rebecca, have you found it?
David, I've got a question.
I haven't looked yet.
Okay. Yes, Peter.
Does that mean you're sick of the old committee?
No, that doesn't mean that at all. It means that every year we have to vote in a new committee. That is in our constitution, and we have to do it. We have to vote in the president, secretary, treasurer, all the officers, all the positions, and the committee. And several of our committee now who have served Wigan Photographic Club for seemingly like 150 years, I think it's time to step down because, you know, they've done it a long time and I thank them for it. So we are going to have several vacancies on the committee and we'll need some new faces.
I understand, that's just the way you put it.
Well, I didn't mean to put it in any way other than officially we have to vote them in, that's in our constitution. But we do need some new, we will need some new faces because of people who are standing down. I mean, officially, there's no reason why anybody who's on the committee should automatically expect it to be voted in the forthcoming year. But we will have gap, even if a lot of the committee restand, several of them are not standing because they're doing it for 150 years and I thank them for their input. But we will need some new faces and breath of new air. So please think on those lines. How are you doing, Gerben?
Nearly there, nearly there.
Excellent. Anybody want to say anything else?
One more.
Still very quiet.
Well, I mean, I've got a question.
Pardon?
I've got a question.
Sorry, I'm not sure who's speaking.
It's Jeff.
Oh, hello, Jeff. Sorry, I'm with you now. Yeah, I'm with you now. Carry on.
For this thing, for the RAW, so people could play around with Photoshop, I think your requirement was less than 20 meg, was the size.
For tonight?
Sorry?
For tonight's meeting, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
The requirement was less than 20 megabytes. I couldn't find a way of getting a RAW file down below 20. How do you guys do it?
There's a question for... That's a good opening question for the evening. How about our three...
The option was to use a TIFF file, wasn't it?
Sorry, say that again, please,
Ed. The option was to use a TIFF file.
Okay, it specifically said send RAW if you could. I didn't know if there was a way to compress a RAW file.
No, you cannot.
We did ask for RAW files if possible. You're right, Jeff, we did. Yeah. So I'm sorry if that's been difficult. I mean, I haven't tried, I must admit.
Okay. No, I just wondered if I was missing something.
I don't think so.
Where you guys were using.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes, Fred.
Because out of five pictures that you asked for, one of mine was from a different camera that I don't normally use, and it was more than 20 meg. So I just sent it anyway. So did you get five pictures from me, or did you get four pictures from me?
Got five.
So I think the answer then, Jeff, was you should just have ignored the 20 meg limit.
God for it. Sorry, Jeff. Yeah. If if this is a success tonight, I'm sure we'll do it again.
Okay.
But yeah. If it's a failure tonight, I'm sure we won't.
Yeah, a lot of people used WeTransfer, Jeff, which I didn't know about. So that
I used WeTransfer and probably did about 70 or 80 meg on three pictures.
Yeah, and it worked quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sorry about that, Jeff.
No, as I say, I just wondered if somebody had a different software.
Okay. Gerben, you ready?
I'm ready.
Right then. After our notices at the beginning of the meeting, we can start our meeting now. And so, basically, I'm going to hand over to Les, who's going to take us through tonight's meeting, because tonight we're asked people to submit raw files, and people were going to fiddle with them. So thank you to the fiddlers, who are Les, Paul, and Linda, otherwise known as Deborah. So thank you very much to you three, and over to you, Les.
Yeah, well, Paul's actually going to start the proceedings, so... I think if Gerben's ready, we'll just get first into the original number one image.
Yeah. Okay. I hope I've got them in the right order. We'll find out at some point, I guess. It was a bit of a. Can you see my screen now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. A bird.
A bird. Yes, a sort of.
It is a bird.
Gerben, are we showing the raw files first, or is this the file we worked on?
This is the raw file. Original version.
Right.
Yes.
Right, that's fine. I thought it because it didn't look what I...
yeah. Okay. Shall I move on to the next one?
No.
Just hang on 2 seconds.
All right, okay. Yep.
Just a couple of things before we move on. Just to say thanks, everybody, for handing over your images. It's nice to have. I'll start off with this one. I'm wildlife photographers. I think they have a difficult job trying to capture these animals in situ, and I don't have the patience to do this type of photography. So I take my hat off to these people. And as you can see with this first image, it's a bird capturing. Well, I think I'm not sure what it is. It's prey, but as you can see, it's all a bit muted. The colours, the background is quite dull, and just I think what I tend to do is when I've got the raw file, I try and assess what I've got. So, Gerben, you move on to my version. So, as you can see, I've been able to use. The camera raw in Photoshop, you have a lot of control in there. And what I started to do is to start to lighten the image up. But what I started to do is lighten up the background as well. So using the sliders in camera raw, you've got exposure and you've got highlights and shadows. So I started to take down the highlights, just work on the shadows, bring the shadows a little bit. Then what I've started to realise is the colour on the bird is absolutely fabulous, I've just gone into I think what I went and done next is that I looked at the in the photo raw is I went straight into effects, because what you can actually do with that is vignette the background, just to darken it just around. Also, what I've done with this is that I've just cropped it slightly just to give it a bit more space on the right, because the bird is looking into the right. So I've just cropped it a little bit on the left. There was one or two little highlights, which when I put it in Photoshop, there's a couple of more highlights around there, which I've just used a contact aware. And it's a good tool instead of using clone. I don't know if anybody uses it. It's... does anybody use Content Aware in Photoshop?
Yeah, I use it.
Yes, I use it a lot.
It's a brilliant bit of software, because you can actually add space on a picture. You can take stuff out, because sometimes cloning just is kind of a bit awkward. And it worked quite well with this one.
Paul, can I just cut in there, please?
Yeah.
You mentioned vignette.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see what you've done, enhancing the colour and brightening up everything. But when you mentioned you'd vignetted the image in RAW, how do you go about doing that?
It's in camera RAW. Soon, if you click on a RAW image, and it opens up straight away in Photoshop, and it comes up with all your RAW settings, all your sliders. Have you used Lightroom?
No.
Right, it's very similar to Lightroom. The beauty with this is in Photoshop, it's non-destructive. You can actually find it also in Filter, Camera Raw Filter. If you hang a raw file, it'll open up, or even a JPEG. I would rather use it as a raw file because you have a lot of latitude to play with. And there's like a drop-down menu on the right-hand side. There's lots of things in there which you can control, like geometry, which you can straighten an image out. And the effect, you've got a lot of things because you can vignette, you can change the shape of the oval, you can feather it. It's absolutely, and you really don't notice that you've done it. It's very subtle. Also, what I've done in this, I've went into just enhanced the colours because I thought the colour of the bird is absolutely fabulous. So I've just enhanced the colour by just going into, I don't know what it is now.
Human saturation.
Yeah, human saturation. Yeah, just tweak that. You've got to be very careful because you can overcook it, and I've just got to tweak that. Also, what I've done with the bird's eye, I've just put a cash light in the eye. I don't know if you noticed that. Because it didn't have a catch light then. You've got to really enlarge the image till you get the pixels and just start putting the dodge burn tool in there. And you've got to work on it a little bit. But I think it just gives a little bit of life to the bird. I think that's what I'll do.
Well, the natural is there.
Sorry?
Do you think that's the natural colour of the bird?
Yes, it is. No, you've got to be careful is not to overcook it. But the colours there, all I've done is just slightly enhanced the colours. So that is the colour of the bird. I think with nature and wildlife, you really haven't got to change things too much. I'm not really a wildlife or nature photographer, so I've never really gone into the rules of that, so I don't know if this would be accepted. But I've just slightly enhanced the colours because I thought the colours of the bird were just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, the name of that bird is a lilac-breasted roller. If I remember rightly.
Because Alan's left the, has given us a title that one, yeah, that's right, spot on, I heard Fred.
Lilac Breasted Roller.
Yeah. Well done, Fred.
Good.
So that's mine.
So thank you, Paul. Yeah. Les?
Hey, Gerben, do you want to add back the original? Okay. I worked all of these images in Lightroom, and the first thing it takes about 30 seconds to do the initial transfer, setting your shadows and highlights up, adjusting your black and white, then decide whether you want to increase your contrast and whether you want to crop. So they are the sort of initial things I've done on every photograph. The other thing, do you want it in color? Do you want it in black and white? So if you go onto my image, Gerben, right, you can see I've cropped it a little bit tighter. I went into square format, did very similar things to Paul. Instead of using the vibrance and saturation, what I did was to look at the color luminance and just increase the color luminance on the different colors, so the blues and the purple. I was tempted to put a catch light in the eye, but it might have broken the rules of natural history, but it was an option. I just thought it was a really sort of well-captured program. I know it's by Alan, and I know he uses Pro Capture, and whether this is a Pro Capture shot where he's taken several photographs in order to get this, but leading up from the tail all the way to the business end and just with a bug flying through the air, I think is a very well taken photograph. But I've got no real other comments to make. I think Paul said it all.
Thank you. So I think we should move on in the aid of time. And we're going to get through lots of photographs, so thank you.
Okay, I'm doing this one. This is a shot from Peter. If you like what I've done, well, I'm Linda. If you don't like what I've done, well, my name's Deborah Taylor. So there's an old joke in that somewhere. I'm always drawn to anything architectural, so this drew me, and I like the subtlety and the colours in this, the subtle sort of golds and greens that were in there, and I've worked to try and bring that out, and to try and sort of really capture a feeling of evening sun on a building. If you go to my shot, please, Gerben. And this is what I ended up with. And you can see how I've brought out the colours more, and it's sort of just made the whole thing a little bit more vibrant. I think this is a building in Newcastle, and I just felt in the portrait format you weren't getting any height out of it, and that for me is part of a shot like this. So I changed the format to square format and just extended it, so changed the proportions of the image to stretch it upwards, and give it some height as well and some drama with the lines sort of converging to the top of the frame. But I really liked the shot. I thought it was lovely. That's all I've got. And probably a lot of mine, I'm the only one that's doing them. I seem to have different picks to everybody else. So
well, thank you. Lovely.
Yeah, Linda, it was interesting to see what made of it, because it looked just really dark and dismal, the original.
Yeah, but there was gorgeous colours in there.
Yeah, great, thank you.
You did introduce a bit of noise in the image, I think.
Yeah.
So, right.
We'll have to move on because we've got lots to go through. So, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to be a bit quicker.
Yeah, this is. I'll start on this one. This is one of Fred Wright's, sort of a nice little, this says my internet connection is unstable, so hopefully I'll stay with it. The bit of distraction on either side, I'm sure, wasn't meant to be there, so I decided to take it out. If you go onto my image, please, Gerben. Right, so I've done it again, a similar fix to as I've done before, but I took it into a square format, and I've altered the contrast, and even then it still wasn't enough. The stones in the foreground, I thought a little bit of burning in brought out the texture a lot better. So a nice format, nice arrangement, and you can see the whole thing in a lot more detail as far as I'm concerned. Okay, I think that's all I've got to say.
Dave, can I just make a comment or a question to Les? Yep. Les, when people who are relatively new to photography and you start to use RAW, you think it tends to be a little bit off-putting because it's generally a flat image, but it's totally different to what they see in the back screen of their camera. So do you think it could be a little bit off-putting to people to realising what can be done in RAW?
I think once you get into RAW, you'd realise how many options there are open to you. Over and above a JPEG, we'll see some JPEGs later, and you'll realise the limitations of the of what you can do with it. One sneaks of adjusting a RAW or image, everything just opens up for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Paul, that seems to have frozen. So, who else has commented on Paul? Have you commented next?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, that's yours, Paul.
I've had a slightly different approach because I wanted to keep the same ratio as what Fred had supplied. And what I've done on both sides, I've just went around with a lasso tool, contact aware, and just then created more of a back side. Left and right hand side. I've created a bit more space on the top because I think the top was just need a bit more space. I just found the background was that the creases that were a little bit distracting. I didn't spend a lot of time on this because I was going to spend hours just trying to straighten out the creases in the material, and also in the foreground as well. Again, I've just went and just in the camera raw, it's just to alter the exposure, the highlights, and the shadow, just to bring them out. I've noticed there was some on the where the Buddha's head is, just that wooden base, that there was some harsh shadows off the stones, and I've just taken them out. And it's in the background, that would take a lot of time. I think when you're doing still life, I think something's it may be worth taking more attention to the background in it or something like that, so you've got less work to do in it.
Can I come in and make an observation at all?
Yeah.
I've noticed not just tonight, but on quite a few presentations, the images bleed out, i.e., you've got black going into black, and a very fine border would hold the picture in.
Yeah.
Just a couple of pixels, like a white border, it stops the picture from bleeding out. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I like the contrast better in this version, but I'm not sure about the blue tack.
Yeah, blue tack spoils it.
Linda, have you got anything to say next?
Yeah, I did this one as well, I think, and we were all keen to have a go at this. I sort of followed the same ideas as Les. What I started off trying to do, and I haven't done it very well, was try to differentiate the contrast between each of the items and make each item an individual. That's given me a face that I really think has got too much texture in it, and you've lost the loveliness of the face. I liked what Paul had done to the figurehead, and that was more appealing. Like Paul said, the creases bothered me, and I sort of fiddled about with the creases a bit. But I like the square format in it. That was just my efforts.
Thank you. Les, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Excellent.
You going first, Paul?
All right, yes, yeah. I thought this was a fabulous picture. I would love to be there myself. But when I looked at this, I thought it needed the power in the water. So I decided to convert this into black and white. Quite heavily worked on it. Again, it's going into the camera raw, exposure, to look in the highlights, because you want to get some detail in the water. Working on the height on the shadow, because you want to bring the shadow up a little bit. But and there was a shadow, I think it might be in somebody standing on the bottom right part of the picture, which I've just taken that out. It's cropped on this one, and what I've done then, I've went into effects where your vignetting is in there, so I've just vignetted the image because I wanted to darken that sky down a bit. Also, if you go into the black white mixer, if you work on the sliders in there, you can actually darken the sky. It's all the colours in there, and it's a bit like your filters on your black and white camera. You put an orange or a yellow filter on there, you can get some nice effects. It saturates the image, or gives a bit more oomph to it. And then went into Photoshop just to tidy up there, just to darken the sky a bit more. And what was around the waterfall. I must admit, I'm kind of more of a black and white person. To me, my personal opinion, I think this would be better in black and white. You want to pass on to Les?
Yeah. Want to go back to the original again, Gerben?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What Rebecca wanted on this, she wanted to enhance the rainbow if I read our message correctly. So I decided I wouldn't overdo the processing on it, but I wanted to try and improve the image and then see if I could do anything with the rainbow. The problem with it, with a rainbow, is that it's water droplets and you can see through it. So anything you do to the rainbow might affect really what you do in the background. So if you go on to the next image, Kevin, not that one.
I know, it's coming.
Not that one, yeah. So I'll really lighten the whole image up just with the adjustments as I've described. And it brings out the rocks in the foreground. I wasn't too worried about the head down the bottom right-hand corner that I thought might be part of the self-portrait. And then all I did with the rainbow, again in Lightroom, was just use a brush tool and lifted the vibrance of the rainbow. I think that's what you wanted, Rebecca, to some extent, but that's probably about as far as I would go on that and not take it much further.
Thank you.
Okay, next one.
I had this one. I'm on the list next. I struggled to pick one. I was given instructions to pick two of everybody's, and I struggled a little bit to choose here. For me, when I looked at this, it was all a little bit blue for my taste, and this is just personal preference. And I kept getting drawn down. It was taken, I suppose, because of the what you were seeing in the windmill going round, and that you were getting that sort of shadow of the veins going round, and the little white clouds behind it. And I kept getting, my eyes kept dropping to the two red huts. So I sort of decided that I'd try going black and white with this and see what happened. Thanks, Gerben. I fiddled on and I've pushed it way too far, but you can see, just to try and bring out the veins in that windmill more, and I've taken it far too far. But you could see sort of where I was going with it, so I left it like that, and trying to use that strip of land, that I felt the strip of land was an image that was split into four quarters with that strong vertical down and then the strip of land along the middle. So trying to bring out that more and make that cross more of a focus in the image. That was my thoughts. I haven't executed it very well, but that was my idea.
Thank you.
Paul's next.
Yeah, I must admit, I looked at this image and I was straight away, I was looking at it, I thought, this is going to look better in black and white. Mm-hmm. And what I've done, because on the left hand and right hand side, the image was quite light. And I wanted to balance that out again. So again, starting off with camera roll, just going to expose your highlights and the shadow. There's also texture and clarity in there, which is quite good. Dehaze is absolutely fabulous for blank white images because it enhances a contrast in the image. But be careful that, because it can create halos in images. It doesn't work. Doesn't work that way in the colour image.
We've both ended up with the same issue here, though. I think there's sort of like a chromatic banding in the sky. I can see it in this, and in mine it was there as well. And I was aware it was there. I just couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't do what I was trying to do and get rid of that. And it's interesting to me that you've got it as well.
I've got the same problem as well. I don't know why, because it's usually something like that. It's usually the resolution that creates that. Not too sure.
Is it a JPEG?
Did that come through as a TIFF, didn't it? I can't remember now.
TIFF it was.
Oh, sorry?
It was a TIFF, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know, unless I didn't look at the file size. I don't know if that was being knocked down a bit. I don't know. That's usually the reason, one of the reasons anyway.
I noticed that actually, I don't know which one it was, and it might have been this, there was two files in the ones that I was sent that were very, very small. So
there's another photographer done that, he sent we'll come in later.
I can't remember if it was this one or not.
No, I think it was another person, we'll come in a minute. But I decided to crop this because I thought the picture was actually in the wind turbine, in not the reflection. I think it was all in the top part of the picture, so I've heavily cropped it. So we're concentrating on the windmill. So yeah, that's my bid.
Thank you. Move on, can we? Yeah.
I'm down here as the first as well. I wasn't quite sure whether I'd been given this and it should have been turned 90 degrees or whether this was the photographer's, this was the angle that the photographer wanted on that. It didn't really matter to what I was intending to do. But for me, I found the background a little bit intrusive, the bright areas and that strong, there's the vertical dark line that's behind the top of the stick that was bothering me a little bit. So I tried to address both of those issues and just give a little bit of texture and a little bit of definition to the bird and the stick. If you go on to my shot, Gerben, please. So I turned it round and cropped it down so that vertical line is still there, but it's now running diagonally and it stops being, it's not quite as intrusive for me. And I've got rid of a lot of the blotchiness of the background, not by toning it down as much, but by sort of, it drains into the side of the image a little bit and it lightens up the side. And it sort of isn't as blotchy behind it. So I it sort of felt as if the bird was on the stick there. I felt as if it was going to fall off the stick the way the image was in the last shot. But maybe I was looking at it in the wrong orientation. But that's mine, just with a little bit of colour burn and texture added to the stick and to the feathers on the bird. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is my image yet. It hasn't come out as well as it did on my screen, but never mind. I had a similar problem with the background, so I cropped it down fairly closely. I haven't quite gone as hard on the contrast as Linda did. That was mainly because the background started to overpower the bird in the foreground. So I just did a little bit of burning on the bird itself and tried to mute the background. The size of the image, it took cropping quite well. And I think on a raw file, it's probably worth going back and doing it at this stage. Again, I was tempted to put a catch light in the eye, but I resisted that. There's some nice texture in the wood as well, so I think both could be brought out. You'll see a couple of white, three white little bits coming off. I don't know, I was again tempted to clone those out, but would that be taken away from the realism of the bits of wood falling off the bird, from the bird pecking it? So you're limited what you can do in this, but as I say, go back to the raw image, adjust it and try just bring out the detail on the bird's feathers. I think it makes it quite interesting. Okay.
Thank you, Les.
Yeah, I think is it me to talk on this one first?
Yep.
Many years ago, Jane Black came to the club to judge a print competition. And she said, in every box, there's always one. And to my mind, this was it. This was probably the smallest file in the entry that we got. It was only about just over 300 kilobytes. it was hard to make much out of it as well. The cloud definition had gone in the sky a little bit. The trees I found on the left were a little bit distracting. I really found that I couldn't do a huge amount with it being such a small file. If it had been a raw file, I think there might have been a little bit more option. I think the angle of the photograph is being taken at the wrong point, so it was very difficult. So if you go on to my version of it, you can see I've cropped down, but again, with the limitations on the file, you can see that it's blurred on the tree. It's about the best I could do, but I was struggling with this one. I'd be interested to see what Paul and Linda have done with it.
Okay, thank you. Paul?
Yeah. This is my version. Said trying to work on a low resolution file, which is so small, it's just unbelievable. I agree with Les. It's one of those images that comes up with a box and you think, what's happening here? But never mind. And again, what I've done is I've cropped this down to take that tree off the left, because it's just to simplify the image, and I've changed the black and white. I've tried to enhance the clouds, but I don't even notice the banding in the sky. But I didn't spend a lot of time just because I just found that the image wasn't sharp. It's probably because of the image file size. It was I've just found a really hard image to work with. And again, it just goes back to work in raw files or TIFF files. You've got a lot of latitude, and you can really work on them. That's all I can see on that one.
It's funny, there's not many that we've all chosen, but we had all chosen this one, and then we're all sitting here saying we didn't like working on it, but we all picked it. I sort of approached it from the point of view of maybe, well, what it could be, and given sort of a slight movement of the photographer and a slightly better day-wise with the sky, etc. I felt the photographer was trying to take that bit interesting bit of stick, but it was melting for me into the tree. So my first thing was to move the stick, which was quite a feat, and it sort of became a bit of a challenge for me to see if I could do it. And that's what I ended up with, which I was reasonably happy with considering. I also wanted a little bit of light and shade in the foreground just to give it a little bit of something. So I've added a little bit of light and shade, and I've given a little bit of more detail to the sky, but the basic proportions have been left. And I sort of felt, rather than having to move the stick afterwards in Photoshop, the photographer just taking a couple of steps to the left and just isolating the stick before they took it would have made a much better photograph. So that was my effort and my thoughts.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, this is me. I was struggling, and I looked and looked and looked and wondered what on earth I could do with it, and I really didn't know what to do with it. And I've had shots like this myself before where I've been fiddling on and just and when all else fails, this is what I do with it. If you just move on. So that's what I did with it. I decided to just make it sort of like a cartouche thing and take out the distraction of that really out of focus shrub at the right, the bit that at the right hand side below the tree. And doing that, putting it in this oval with just put the bird right in the middle of it. And I like the way the balance at the bottom with the little twig at the bottom left, and the way that I like the way the trees were holding it in at the left-hand side. So although I really couldn't do very much with the quality of the image, I felt I'd sort of got the photograph into something that was pleasing to my eye anyway in that oval cartouche.
Thank you.
That was my effort.
I think I'm next, I think.
Yes, Paul, you are.
I was just looking at these images because these are from Peter Strassine, and I was quite impressed with some of these images that he'd done. I quite particularly like this one, and I noticed some of the images he sent over. He was using a wide-angle lens, and I just wish some of them you had used a better depth of field, because some of the images were starting to go out of focus in the foreground and the background. But this one, I just wish you had stood on that flower and got the rest of the lamp in, because I loved this lamp bending into the picture, the one that's on the right-hand side. Be nice if that was in. Do you want to go to mine, Gerben? I loved this one. I changed this into black and white, worked it on there in Photoshop Raw. Just working with the sliders, the exposure, the highlights, the shadows and that, and the texture and the clarity as well, the dehaze, and just working on that. And then putting the vignette looks a lot stronger on this image, but should have been softened a little bit more. But just, I think these buildings around this area are just absolutely fabulous. And I just wish you had the top of that lamp in there. You probably need to stand on that flower in front of it and just walk backwards a bit or tilt the car a bit further up. I think this would have been nice, but again, this worked in black and white. That's me anyway.
Thank you.
And I'm next, and this is mine. And like Paul, I really like this image. I loved what I really loved about it was, as Paul has said, that bend, that lamppost that's bending round, and the way that curve at the front sort of makes a curve that follows, meets the lamppost, and you get this sort of semicircle going all the way around the right hand side. And I loved that, and that held the image for me. I cropped it a little bit because while I loved the curve on the right hand side on that lamppost, the lamppost bending over, there's two lampposts, the lamppost bending over at the left, I didn't quite like as much, but I didn't want to take it any further than that because I didn't want the image of the big building right at the edge of the frame. I've desaturated it a bit so that it's not making as much of the reflection in the side of that building for me. I've taken the importance of that away and tried to leave just the structure being important, the very strong vertical elements, I really like the natural and the man-made with that flower against the building and the spark of sun, the sunburst on the front of it. I thought it was lovely. But like Paul says, I would have loved to have that lamping in total at the top. I tried to cut it out. I've actually made a bad job of cutting it out because I've left a sliver of it in. But I would rather have had the whole round lamp left in there. But I didn't, it wasn't in the original image, but I thought it was a lovely shot.
Thank you. Nice.
Yeah, just going to my image. Yeah, I didn't like the part of the lamp going through, so I took it out altogether. As Paul and Linda have said, you needed the top in. So I decided to, I would zoom in on just on the flower and enhance the blueness of the sky and give it a little bit more power. So rather interesting, we've come up with three completely different images, but I really like the idea of the flower in front of the building. I thought it worked really well.
Thank you. The next one.
Liz.
That's Liz again.
Yeah, okay. The bottle top or the vase top, whatever it is, for me had to come out. I played around with this. I looked at it in black and white, which I quite liked, but I eventually went back to color. If you go onto my image, Gerben. Yeah, so I just cropped it in a lot closer. The unfortunate thing is one of Fred Wright's. We've seen quite a few that he's taken the other week, which were really good. But unfortunately, the thing that spoiled it a little bit was the fact that the green leaf was slightly out of focus. I think if the both leaves had been in focus, it would have been an absolutely cracking shot. But you can see, as I say, it's a slightly elongated crop that I've done. And it's just the way I've done it is it just isolates the two leaves completely. It was a nice image, as I say, but if the green leaf had been sharper, it would have been even better.
Thank you.
I'm next.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same vein as what Les has been saying, because I thought the bottle top was a bit distracting and I couldn't make my mind up to actually crop it out or leave it in, but I decided to use content aware. And what you do is you create a bit of space on the bottom, content aware, and it copies it in, and I don't think it's done a bad job, because I think the bottle top was just very far down the bottom, where I've just moved so I've created a bit of space on the left-hand side because I thought it was a bit far to the left, and there was a bit space, too space on the top, so I've just cropped that a little bit. I did try this in black and white, but for some reason, I think I needed the separation between the green and the red, and that didn't quite work as well, so I went back to colour. And it is about colour, because the reds and greens, and I must admit, it is a shame about the green leaf. It's just starting to fall off in sharpness. That's it for me.
Thank you.
I've got this one. This came with a note from Rebecca to say that she didn't feel that the blue lagoon was quite blue enough. And I've been there myself. I know what she means. My photographs weren't quite what I was expecting when I got back either. So I was pleased to have a go at this one. And I tried to start with making it just working on the blue, and I have made it a little more blue, but I felt I got towards something better when I started to make the stuff that wasn't supposed to be blue, not less blue. So I put a filter on the background, on the just sort of on the top third of the image, to make the hills a little bit less blue, and tried to make the foreground stand out a little bit and bring out the browns and the greens in that. So a combination of changing those colours away from the blue and just making the bluer a little bit blue was how I approached it. And also the guy, or everybody's photographs here are from the Zoom thing are blocking my view here, but I also moved the guy at the top right hand side of the image. He was almost out of the image, and that just kept drawing my eye, so I moved him a little bit further back into the image as well, and I just found that a little bit more relaxing to look at than having that guy wandering out of it. But as soon as I changed the rest to be less blue, I started to get a little bit happier with it. So I don't know whether that whether you feel it's any better, Rebecca, or not. That was me.
Yeah, very good. And I debated whether to take the man out, but I thought he gave the size of it. You've got the proportions.
Uh-huh. I liked them. I certainly liked the man in. I wasn't tempted to take him out. I liked him. I just didn't quite like him walking out of the image as closely as that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Paul.
I'm thinking I'm Paul. Next.
Yeah.
I must admit, this is a place I'd love to go to myself, and I'll probably get there next year with a little bit of luck. Just again, when I look at this image, I start assessing how I can improve it. And I think the top part of the picture, your eye goes to the brightest part, and it's quite large as well. So what I start to do is to put this into black and white. And again, I thought the image was the actual waterfall, because it is a huge waterfall. I'm surprised it hasn't got people standing in front of it, because apparently this place gets chocked with tourists. Again, converting it black and white, look at exposure, bring down the highlights just so I can keep the detail in the water. Brought this, worked on the shadows a little bit and texture, clarity, and I must admit I went quite heavy on the dehaze. And what this does, and you've got to be careful with it, it creates a halo around the top part of the mountain right across. So I had to spend some time taking that out. And again, just vignette, so the dark and vignette all the way around, just to concentrate on the waterfall itself, just to bring it in. And that's me. I'll pass over to the next one.
The next one is me. And I think the note that we got from Rebecca on this was about the sky. So that was my first thing to try and give it a little bit of some detail in the sky. And I always find that hard to choose the right one. I had two or three in here before I settled on one. But I did still like the overcast heaviness of it. I tried to give some texture and stuff in both the rocks and the grass and bring a little bit more definition into the water. But I didn't have to do too much to it. I thought it was lovely in the foreground, and it really was just the sky, as Rebecca said, for me. The rest of it was nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Les, are you safe?
Yeah, go on to mine. Yeah, I've got similar comments. The biggest problem is choosing the right sky to go with the image. And this is one I put in. Rebecca, what you've got to do is copy the original into, you know, so you've got two layers of the original, and then you've got to select a sky to sandwich in between them. And then you've got to cut on your top image is cut out the sky. And there's various ways you can do that. You can do it with the magic wand, or you can use your selection tool and very carefully go around and cut it out. The only problem you sometimes get is you get a bit of fringing. You would have got that along the top of the rocks and a lot of the sort of mountainside. So you might have to go back in and do some cloning, and it's very painstaking to get it accurate. What I do is I photograph skies, and I build up a library of different skies, different moods. So I could have put your starry night in here or a sunset, but it wouldn't have worked because it's got to fit with the rest of the picture. That's it.
Thank you.
It's me that's got this one. This is Fred's. And from what Fred had up at the last meeting, I could see what he was trying to get. What I thought about it when I looked at it, I didn't like the light shining and losing the detail on the right hand side there. I know Fred likes this very misty effect on them, so I sort of thought I should try and keep that because that's what he would be going for. So I struggled a bit, and I didn't get what I was hoping that I could get. If you go to mine, I've ended up with something. I did work on that shiny bit to try and get rid of that, and I've sort of managed to some extent. It's not brilliant. But what I've lost is that mistiness that Fred had got with his that he was clearly wanting in his shot. And I tried to work on the image and get it sort of bright and then give it some fogging and misting. But that really didn't work. I chose to flip the image so that it comes in from the right and move, so that it comes in from the left and moves to the right. I just find that an easier way to look at images. That's the way we read a book, and that's the way you naturally, I feel, look at an image. And it was more comfortable for me with its being oriented that way than the other way. But I couldn't get the mistiness back as Fred had done. So I fiddled and fiddled and fiddled. And in the end, I got heartily sick of it. So I gave up in the end and just settled for this. That's my effort. Sorry.
Thank you.
Right, I think I'm first on this one. This yep. was a well-known shot in Northumberland. I'm sure everybody knows where it is. What I did with this, I felt that the photograph was the sort of the rock pools in front of the St. Mary's Lighthouse. The image, the horizon wasn't quite level. So I initially leveled it, but I needn't have done because I did crop square. If you go onto my image, please, Gerben. Yeah, so I made it black and white. This is sort of an uncompleted image to some extent, because in order to get the rocks, the light rocks to stand out, I had to darken the blues down. Otherwise, wouldn't have seen the rock pools. The rock pools were very light, so I partially adjusted the blue luminosity and made it a little bit darker. It does create a few little lines around some of the rock pools, and you'd have to have left them there on purpose to show them. You'd have to go in and do a little bit of cloning just to tidy it up. But I think the sort of causeway going out leads you out to the lighthouse a little bit better. In adjusting the luminosity, it does affect the sky. It starts breaking up the blue sky and makes it a bit messy. So I then had to adjust the luminosity noise in order to bring that back. So it does soften it down a little bit, but at least it got rid of all of the breakup on it. I didn't do anything with the windmills, unfortunately. Whoever built the windmills didn't like photographing St. Mary's Island, so I've just left those in. I quite like the figure just standing below the lighthouse as well. Okay. Oh, I did use silver effects on this one, and believe it or not, it was wet rocks, so there you go.
Paul?
Yeah, I thought this picture would work better in black and white, with Les is on about the foreground and the rocks and the pools, but I thought they were a little bit distracting, so I've actually just cropped it out. And just to concentrate on the lighthouse, again, just black and white conversion, just working on the exposure, again, just bring the highlights down because the lighthouse itself was starting to burn out. And again, just working on the shadows, dehazing just to give it a bit more contrast. I must admit, the effects, the vignetting looks pretty bad on this picture, but I don't know what it is. But on my screen, in Photoshop, it looked okay. So, but the vignetting looks really heavy, and I wouldn't want to do that as heavy as that. Just so the vignetting can actually just concentrate on the actual lighthouse itself. Again, I've just the clouds behind, I've just dodged them a little bit because they had darkened down a little bit because of a nice cloud line in the background there as well. Yeah, the windmill could have been taken out, but I thought, well, how far do you go? But to me, I think that the rocks in the foreground were a little bit distracting. So yeah, that's me.
Two different approaches, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, I had this one, and I've done something that really probably you shouldn't do, and whether you would want to do it, I think this is Alan's, and whether he would want to do what I've done, I don't know, but I did it really just to make my point. Alan had given it a title, it was called The End of the Line, and it wasn't giving me the impression of being the end of the line because there was all those buildings behind it. And just to make it a stronger image within the title that he'd given me, I got rid of the buildings behind it and really made the line the end of the line with nothing behind it. And that was really, as soon as I saw that, that was my first thought and what I wanted to do. And I was very fortunate that there was a strong place in those houses at the right-hand side, that you could crop it off and it would look, wouldn't look cropped off. It sort of just looked as if this old decrepit village had ended there. But that was really my, when I looked at that, that's what I wanted to do with it. I tried to give the sand and things a little bit more texture. But that was my main thought in that one. Thanks. That was only me did that one.
Lovely. Well, I think I'm next, aren't I? Again, this is one of Peter Strassine's images, and it looks like he's going wide angle as a fish eye just about. And I just wish he had used a better depth of field on the lens, because I thought this was an interesting picture. I thought the fence on the left hand side, was a little bit distracting, but anyway, just go to mine, Gervin. Oh. So again, I must admit, I'm more of a black and white person. I've seen black and white in this. I thought that in Peter, as it was starting to slope off to the right, it was sloping down a little bit. I've cropped the left a bit so it isn't so much of that curvy fence. Again, just with black and white, I've been able to play with the exposure and the highlights and shadows. And I've been able to bring out the cloud, because the cloud was really nice on there. Again, the dehaze and the clarity worked well on this, just to give that bit of oomph in the black white image. The buildings on the far right, that they've really gone dark, because I thought they were just going right out of focus, and I think I just had to darken it down a little bit. But yeah, that one's mine.
Thank you. Yes.
Just go straight on to mine, Gervin. Yeah, I didn't like the wide angle effect on the fence, so I took the fence out and I left it in colour. And as Paul said, you can see the buildings in the background are just totally out of focus, unfortunately. I did consider black and white, as Paul has done. In the end, I thought I'd bring out some of the colours, and I just ended up with that image. Okay.
Thank you.
I chose this one to do. I love the image, and I chose it simply because it's the kind of thing that you often get where you've got a group and you're trying to get this photograph, and you've got two people sitting one behind the other, and you've sort of got this mixture of arms and legs. And for me, that's the two people sitting on the left of that image, one directly behind the other. That for me was just spoiling the shot, and it would have been a better shot if the person wasn't behind. So I just got to wondering, could I actually take that person out? I didn't know whether I could or what it would look like or anything, so I set to. And I got the person taken out. I extended the image a little bit in the left so that the lady wasn't quite in the center as she was if I just left it with the original proportion. But my only aim in all of this was just to really see if I could get rid of somebody from the background there that was somebody that was maybe making your shot a little bit more confusing. So I sort of managed it. You can see I got a bit slap happy at the top of her head. It's starting to look a bit wishy-washy at the top of her head. But the rest of it, actually, I sort of thought it was acceptable. So that was just an exercise. And all through doing this, actually, I don't know how the other two found it, but I found it's very enjoyable to do, and it's very challenging to really look at some of them and wonder, well, you know, what do you think? What would you do with it? What could you do with it? And see, you know, how different it can become, or what technically you can manage that you really didn't know whether you could or not. So that was my comments. That's my lot. I've got no more.
Thank you, Linda.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a little bit of a challenge as well. You had the end of the road, but it seemed to end where the trees were. There wasn't as much leading into the picture. It was a lighter area with a lone tree. I decided that on this one, I would make it a little bit more autumnal and try and put something in the picture which give it a little bit more brightness. So I actually put a sunburst in there, cropped it down so it tipped to take away the distraction on either side. So I really, this is my one photograph where I went totally over the top on this one. But at least you had something you were looking at, and it was leading you a bit more into the picture. I would have liked to have seen where the road went to, but we didn't have that option. Okay, that's
me. Who is?
Paul.
Yep. Yeah, it's the same vein with Les. I really struggled with this one because at the end of the road, and with it being a very small file size, I struggled what to do with it and, you know, what you can actually control, you could actually have over it. I changed the black and white and I went back to colour and I just couldn't make my mind up. So I just stuck with the black and white and I just lightened the road a bit, so actually leading into the road, but coming to the tree where the road seems to come to an end. But I have to say, I did struggle with this one and not being able to control the highlights with it being a very small file. I did struggle with this one. And I'm not sure what the photographer was hoping that we would do with it, because I must admit, I was just a little bit of a loss with this one.
Whatever it was, Paul, we both failed.
Yeah,
I tried that one as well. I went to that one and had a go, and just I ended up making it worse all the time. Yeah. So I gave up and picked a different one. So at least you two persevered.
Well, I must admit, I was looking these again this morning and thinking I should have persevered with a colour, because I think Les has made a better job than I. But yeah, I was dead lost with this one.
I have a question for Les about this one. Les?
Yeah.
Can I ask how you... Did you use a brush tool or some device to put those sunbeams in?
That's a trade secret, David.
I thought that was the idea of the talk tonight.
Sunburst filter. Photoshop.
I did Photoshop in filter. Sunburst.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
Paul again.
Next one is Paul first, yeah.
All right, yeah, sorry. I must admit, I'm not a wildlife photographer, and I do take my hat off to people. I think this is an incredible scene to photograph, but, you know, the line is not in the right place. You can't ask them to move out of the way. And it suffered from the highlights in the foreground and the background. Nice dark light on the line, but God, it must be wonderful to be there. And, you know, to take wildlife photography, I think you really have to know your prey, where they're going to be. I don't have that kind of patience. But anyway, what I set out to do, and I didn't attempt to change just the black way, because this does work in colour. Again, I just went into the camera raw to see if I could just deal with the highlights and bring out the shadows. And then put it into Photoshop. Then I started dropping down the foreground, because I thought the foreground was incredibly light with the sunlight. And there was a lot of distractions in the background of the trees. So just using Content Aware just to take out the highlights in the background, just to calm it down a bit, because I really wanted to concentrate on the line itself with its prey, and a little bit of vignetting, and hopefully I've improved it. But like I said, I don't know the rules of wildlife photography in this competition. But that's what I would have come up with anyway.
Thank you, Paul.
I'd take my hat off to Riley photographers. I don't have the patience for it.
Les?
Yeah, just going straight on my image, Gabe Kirvin.
Coming up.
Yeah, I agree with what Paul said. I did a slight crop. I took off mainly the right-hand side. I can see Alan was online. He's probably listening, and I think he missed a trick here. I think he should have gone in and moved the oryx. You might have had a little bit more effect from the line and that. And that. but yeah, it was a case of the lion's eyes. I thought, you know, I didn't put a catchlight in here. Anything was already there. Just brought it out a little bit more. It was fairly subdued. The foreground is a slight problem. You could darken it down, but how far do you go on these? And I was a little bit concerned that I would go over the top and take it beyond what innate photograph is. I think that's it.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Any comments from everybody? That's the end of the submitted photographs.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all the people who submitted, and a special thank you to Paul, Les and Linda, who have spent a lot of time, obviously, fiddling with these photographs. So thank you very much. It's very time consuming.
Yes, but I've learned a lot doing it. It's good.
Well, thank you. That means you can do it again. Excellent. Well, thank you all very much. Any other comments? Okay, next week we have a guest speaker, Niels Powell, with his Antarctic photography. The week after that is this challenge, the Zoom competition, and then remember the title is There Still Life. So please send your photographs to me in the normal competition format, and then we're going to have a knockout competition on that's the 7th of August. So can you have them to me by 9 o'clock on the Wednesday? That's Wednesday, the 5th of August, so I can sort them out for the Friday evening, especially as we've got the photo committee meeting on the Thursday night. So closing date, please, 9 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, the 5th of August, for the photo challenge on the 7th of August, There's Still Life. And remember, please think about who would like to become a committee member and put in your £6 into the running of the committee. We would like to see new faces on the committee, our long-serving, hard-working 150-year-olds are stepping down. So thank you to them very much. And we look forward to new members. So thank you very much indeed. Any other comments before we finish?
Oh, thank you to Gerben for sorting it all out again.
Oh, he does very well, does Gerben, yeah.
Thank you for your comments.
Yeah. Great. Well, on that note, if there's no further comments, we'll see you all next week. Yeah. So same time again, sort of 7:45 chat, 8 o'clock, meeting starts for proper. See you then. Good night.
Thanks, good night. Everybody. Bye.
Yes, good night. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye, Deborah.
Cheers. All right. Bye, everybody.
I can't leave.
For Gerben, again, for the competition, I'll...
Oh.
I'll...